Join us this week as we descend into the darker side of human nature and uncover the shadows that dwell in the unknown. From chilling true crime and gruesome murders to spine-tingling paranormal encounters that defy explanation, we're peeling back the curtain on things that go bump in the night. So grab a flashlight and maybe a blanket, because you're listening to The Guilty and the Ghostly.
I bet you guys didn't expect to hear from us today.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. We're dropping our first
ever
bonus episode.
It's a mini-sode. Something like that.
So Tori and I found this story. And in this story, what we are talking about today was like kind of a small part of it, but it was way too interesting to not do a deep dive. So we're like, hey, let's just throw in a mini-sode.
So we're doing a little mini episode for you guys.
And we're not doing video because we are running on a couple of hours of sleep.
And we look busted.
Yeah. We recorded last night with Josh in his episode, but he was going out of town. I had to take him to the airport this morning, and I didn't go to sleep until like 1:45, and then had to wake up at 2:45 to take him to the airport. And that poor man has tried to nap on layovers, but every time he does, something happens. So I'm sure he's tired. Maybe he's on his longer flight now, so maybe he'll get a nap in.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Or they'll put a parrot beside him, you know?
Oh my gosh, he would be so mad. So I guess we'll go ahead and dive in since it's a mini-sode and get it started. So what we are talking about today is the Paris Morgue, a theater of death in the 19th century of Paris.
Okay.
So we're in Paris, late 1800s. The streets hum with life, carriages rattle over cobblestones, newspaper boys shout out the latest headlines, and the smell of roasting chestnuts mixes with the damp, earthy scent of the Seine. And which we've talked about this already, or we will in the next episode, the Seine is a river in Paris.
Yes, it's a very big river, right?
I think so. I think it's pretty big. So tourists are making their way to Notre Dame Cathedral, craning their necks to see its soaring towers, but just across the square, another crowd is forming. They're not here to pray or to admire architecture. They're waiting in line to see the Paris Morgue, a place where death itself is displayed like theater. You follow the line, step into the shadowy building, and find yourself face to face with the dead. So creepy. So, the Paris Morgue officially opened in 1804 under Napoleon Bonaparte. Can't touch that, it'll rattle that. Did you hear my elbow?
ASMR.
ASMR. Before that, unidentified bodies were often left in police stations or hospital courtyards where passerbys could take a look. It was chaotic, unhinged, and unsanitary. The new morgue was supposed to fix that. It was central, organized, and respectable. But we soon see how that changes.
Yeah, pretty quickly, actually.
But respectability is not what it became known for. Its very name hints at its purpose. Morgue comes from the French verb, which we talked about this last time. I do not speak French. Morguer, I believe is how you say it, which means to stare at. The morgue's true function would become exactly that, a place of staring. So you just go to the morgue to look at dead bodies, like the public, just general public, just go.
That's creepy.
Yeah. Paris in the 19th century was full of danger. Before streetlights and reliable policing, crime was rampant. Suicide rates climbed, and of course, the Seine swallowed up hundreds each year by accident, desperation, or foul play. The river was nicknamed Paris's Silent Graveyard. The morgue was built at Tour Place du Marché Neuf.
What the heck?
I probably totally butchered that, but we're going with it. Just steps from the Notre Dame. Its proximity to the Seine wasn't accidental. Most of its quote-unquote guests were actually pulled straight from the river and taken directly to the morgue. Inside, it resembled a grisly storefront. 12 black stone tables sat in a row, tilted at an angle so that passerbys could clearly see the faces. So they had, I'll post pictures on Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. It's basically a great big glass store. Looks like a storefront. And like they said, there's like 12 black marble slabs, and they put these dead bodies at an angle on it so that these people can come to the window and just look.
That is so disturbing.
Yeah.
And what year is this again?
Early 1800s. They'd be wilded back then.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah. A stream of water flowed constantly over each slab, trying in vain to preserve the bodies. Above the corpse hung their clothes and belongings, carefully arranged like a macabre display case. Boots, scarves, jewelry, and hats. All clues to identify all part of the show. Visitors pressed against the glass, fogging it with their breath, and children perched on their parents' shoulders.
Ooh.
So kids are going to this as well. Some whispered, some gasped, and some just stood in solemn silence. On display were bodies of all kinds. Suicides bloated from the river, murder victims sometimes stabbed or strangled, the poor who simply collapsed and were found nameless in the streets. They even displayed children whose tiny forms shocked but also drew morbid fascination. So not only were kids seeing this, there were also kids included in it.
So there were kids on these slabs, yes, that were already deceased that they brought in to put on these,
yes,
marble slabs.
Yeah. Wild.
What in the heck? And parents were allowing this. They were just like, oh yeah, come on kids, let's go to the morgue today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go after church.
Basically.
Everyone's going.
Yep.
What in the world?
The smell was undeniable. Despite the water trickling over the slabs and open ventilation, decay had its own stubborn perfume. Writers described it as a sour, river-damp odor that clung to your clothes long after you left. So, like, even after you left, somebody would be like, smells like you went to the morgue today.
Ew! Like, that theater building that we had at the school?
Mm-hmm.
That's filled with asbestos.
Yeah. Asbestos.
Asbestos, or whatever you call it.
The kids always talk crap on the old theater building.
It literally leaves your clothes smelling so bad.
Ugh. Yet people came back again and again. The morgue was so popular that it rivaled Paris's theaters and museums. One newspaper described it as the poor man's opera. In the opera, you saw actors pretend to die, but at the morgue, you saw the real thing. On an ordinary day, the morgue might attract a few thousand visitors, but during sensational cases, the number skyrocketed. Reports say there are as many as 40,000 people that would file in a single day.
See, that's just, to me, that is insane.
I can't even comprehend that. 40,000 people.
That's like a whole two counties, like.
That is insane. Insane. Guidebooks listed the morgue alongside the Louvre, and catacombs.
Something.
The big L. The catacombs as a must-see. The guidebooks listed the morgue alongside with the Louvre and the catacombs as must-see stops. Visitors who just admired the masterpieces by Da Vinci might just stroll a few streets over to look at the drowned strangers they had that day.
That's just so gruesome. And, like, disturbing.
Yes,
like,
very literally, morbid.
Some of these people could be ancestors of people that we know,
yeah,
today. Or of us. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, it's wild.
I wonder if more people know about this. Because I have not heard anything about this.
I had not either. Well, the most legendary was of a woman that was pulled from the river in the late 1880s. Known as the Unknown Woman of the Seine. Her death seemed a suicide, but her face enchanted Paris. She looked serene with a faint smile, as she knew a secret. The morgue attendant ordered a plaster death mask, which went on to inspire writers, painters, and poets. And that is actually the story that we're going to cover next week. So I'm not going to, there's a lot more information on her. Well, not necessarily on her, but about her story. But we're going to save that for next week. So tune in Monday. In 1889, Elisabeth Toussaint Augustin Gouffet disappeared. Weeks later, his badly decomposed body was discovered, stuffed in a trunk near Lyon. When his remains reached the Paris morgue, thousands came to gawk at the famous victim.
He's famous?
Because of his murder.
Oh my... Oh,
just because
this sucks.
Wait, was he famous? Oh, he was a bailiff, so I'm sure he was kind of well known. The crime became known as the Trunk Murder, one of the century's biggest scandals. Newspapers urged readers to visit the morgue to see evidence with their own eyes. So I originally heard about the morgue with Ash and Elena on Morbid. They did a minisode on this. And I had totally forgot about it until I researched our case for next week. But Ash and Elena, Elena covered it. And she said that, like, when these people would pass away, the police would bring the suspects to the morgue to make them confront the bodies to see if they, like, had a reaction and would confess to killing them. And, like, people would come in hopes to see the police basically confronting these killers with the bodies and see what would happen.
Like a reality TV show,
basically. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't have TVs, phones, any, like, electrical things.
Yeah. So this was their pastime.
Even though it's very weird. No, there's no... It's just weird.
It is
like,
weird.
There's no excuse for it to...
It's just a different time back then. Like, they had public executions, too, which Elena and Ash were talking about that, too. I can't remember where they said it was, but even with public executions, somewhere, I don't remember where, they used the guillotine to execute whoever. Well... People were trying to gather and outlaw the guillotine because they said it was too quick of a death.
What in the world? Like, oh, shit.
Like, if we're going to kill him, I need a show. Dinner and a show, okay?
Like, I want to see what he's doing in his last moment.
Yeah. Why? I cannot wrap my head around it. Well, one of the most shocking aspects of the morgue was the display of children. I could not. Accounts tell of infants that have drowned, toddlers found abandoned, and young boys pulled from the river. Their presence drew particularly huge crowds, which again, I cannot do it.
Can't fathom it.
No. Some viewers wept, others gossiped about whether they were victims of foul play. For many, the tragedy of children only heightened the morbid pool. Outside the morgue, street vendors set up shop. They sold roasted nuts and pamphlets describing the latest cases, and even illicit photographs of the corpses as souvenir photos.
Now, I don't know if you mentioned this. Wait, do you mention it later on down the line?
What?
The clothing?
Yeah, I already mentioned it, that they put the clothing, they hung it up with the bodies.
Yeah, so basically, these are naked children.
Yeah, naked.
Just see
children, women, men. Now, they did use, like, loincloths to cover up their bits and pieces, but still, I just
don't. Towards the privacy. Like, these people just deserved rest, you know?
Yeah. Well, the morgue wasn't just entertainment. It was an economy. Historians have debated this for years. Part of it was civic duty. Maybe you'd recognize a missing neighbor or relative, but much of it was voyeurism. The morgue was free, dramatic, and emotional. Death was simply more visible in the 19th century. People died at home. Children saw grandparents die in bed. Funerals were processed through the streets, and public executions only ended in Paris in 1939. So in the 1800s, watching death was considered normal. The morgue provided a safe confrontation with horror. You could be shocked, saddened, then walk out into the Paris sunshine and just continue your day. Some visitors treated the morgue like an interactive detective story. What the hell? Newspapers describe the injuries, the crowd speculated on the killer's identity. They were the 19th century armchair sleuths, except they stood inches from the evidence. The morgue fascinated intellectuals. Emile Zola called it a spectacle for the idle, a theater of death. Charles Dickens visited and wrote of the cold, wet, dreadful bodies on display, criticizing the Persians for turning tragedy into entertainment. But we do that today, too, though. I mean, just like just like, you know, with us covering these true crime podcasts. I mean, yeah, we want to bring these stories. We want to bring them to light and the unsolved ones and get their names out or just make people aware of what, how people are, you know, what they do.
But it's also like, I know we related it to, I know we were talking about that the other night, and then I got to thinking about it, but they were doing this for, like, their own entertainment. They weren't doing it to be like, oh, this guy did this, and that's why we all need to go to his execution and
make sure he pays and make sure it's justice.
Yeah, and
they're just like, hey, honey, let's go watch this guy get killed today.
Yeah. And with us being so involved with true crime and, like, paranormal stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not really...
It's not just about the entertainment. It's about the stories.
The paranormal aspect of it is an entertainment factor. But I feel like more so on the true crimes that we do, it's definitely to spread awareness. Like, oh, hey... And just recently, too, I was like, hey, I found this case. Like,
yeah, we never heard of.
Yeah, we never heard of
it. And it's right here in Texas.
We need to spread awareness about it, you know, get more people talking about it.
Yes, hold people accountable. Yeah. And I wish people would see how broken humanity is, really, in the justice system. And obviously, there's good people, but there's just so many bad. And I think it's because they're not held accountable.
Exactly. So...
Which is also a lot of the reasons why they did the public executions back then is because they're like, if you see this guy be killed because or get his hand chopped off. Them. Yeah, if you see this guy get his hand chopped off because he stole something, maybe you'll think twice before
stealing.
Stealing, so.
Yeah, and that makes sense. But like you said, husband and wives are just like, come on, let's go. Get the kids bodies on. We're going. Like, yeah,
that's crazy. Tours came from across Europe. Guidebooks for English visitors recommended the morgue as an essential stop. For many travelers, it was the strangest, most unforgettable part of their Paris experience. By the late 1800s, critics grew louder, doctors worried about hygiene, and religious leaders condemned the indecency. The growth of forensic science meant photography and fingerprinting replaced public display for identification. So at least they did... evolve as other things became available. They're like, okay, there's a better way to do this.
Yeah.
Finally, in 1907, the public exhibits were permanently shut down. The morgue continued privately as a mortuary, but never again as theater. The morgue closed its glass doors, but the fascination didn't die. Death mask, morgue-inspired art, and sensational newspaper stories carried the macabre spirit into the new century. Even today, Paris ghost tours still mention the morgue as one of the city's darkest landmarks. The Paris morgue reminds us of something deeply human, our fascination with death. In the 19th century, Parisians lined up to stare at corpses. Today, millions binge true crime documentaries, listen to murder podcasts, and watch dramatized autopsies on TV. The stage has changed, but the obsession hasn't. The morgue was both a mirror and a theater. A mirror of the Parisian life and death, and the theater where the final act was always real. So next time you think of Paris with its art, wine, and romance, remember this. Not so long ago, one of the city's top attractions wasn't the Eiffel Tower. It was a row of nameless corpses laid out behind the glass for all to see. And maybe in our own strange ways, we're still lining up to look. Because we also still have, like, the death museums and stuff, too. Did you know about that?
No.
There's one in New Orleans and maybe Las Vegas. But they have death museums, too. Like, crazy ways that people have passed and, like, their story. Like, obviously, they don't have their bodies there. But they have their, I guess, lack of a better term, memorabilia there to... that went along with it. So, I mean, we're still doing it just in a different way.
Yeah.
So that's wild. But we thought it was way too interesting to keep this to ourselves. We had to do something.
Yeah, we had to say something about it.
It was just way too morbid not to talk about. So, yeah, that was the Paris morgue. I hope you guys enjoyed our quick little mini-sode drop on Thursday that just randomly showed up.
Yeah, we just had a spur of the moment type thing.
Well, hopefully that will hold you guys over until next week. And next week I've got a case that also involves a Paris morgue, but the story is wild. So we'll bring that to you guys. Until then, Stay spooky.
Yeah, and also after we film that episode next week, the week after the next time you see me, no, not the week after, but
2 weeks. 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we got...
The next episode I'm in.
When Tori's back.
When I will be here, I'm going to do my episode.
And it's so interesting.
It is.
We were listening to it after we dropped Josh up at the airport, and then we sat in the driveway for like 15 minutes just to listen to more of the story.
Yeah. And there's a lot. And I'm definitely needing to do some more research on it. But yeah. It's going to come along good.
It'll be a good episode.
Yeah.
All right. See you guys next week.
Bye.